You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, brought to you by themortgagewarrior.com. Use home equity to reduce stress today. Call Steve at themortgagewarrior.com. It could save you thousands.
Never filtered, always fun.
Pat Quinn's favorite. We got a guy.
We got another guy who twinkle toes won't block a shot.
Yeah, everyone will look over there, and it's O-Dog flamingoing in the picture, one leg up in the air.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Man, the boys are feeling good today. We have a glow on in studio. We're feeling good. The Leafs won a game last night.
Yes, yes.
The Raptors are in action tonight.
I can't remember a Wednesday where I've been this jacked up for a show.
Really?
I'm feeling pretty good. We got Jerry's percentages at 5:30. Ray's coming up. Peter Chiarelli, the GM of the Edmonton Oilers, at 4:30.
We had some Triscuit and some dip out there.
Oh, one of our sponsors stopped by. What a performance.
Like, you just got to bring the dip in here and just eat it. Like,
I did.
Yeah, that's not even like a lie. We're not putting it on.
Sean Levine tried to swan dive into it like the pig he is.
Well, this is the best part is Levine came out of the studio and said, I'm not doing it. Like, he immediately spotted the dip.
Okay, well, I walked in last and you guys were already in here. He had four Triscuits in the dip.
It's because I told him.
He's a pig.
I said, go ahead because we need something to talk about. Because he was very self-conscious.
He apparently was very interested in the dip.
He picked up on that dip pretty quickly.
Well, the smell is amazing.
It's outstanding. And we have to give a shout out to our friends Pat and Ian from Old Tomorrow Beer. They were in here earlier this afternoon. They dropped off the dip. There's a special ingredient in the dip because if you go to their website, oldtomorrowbeer.com, they have all these recipes where they incorporate their beer into food.
It's unreal.
Outstanding. And they brought a bunch of beers for us to have. And
after the show.
After the show. And when we're preparing for the Couching to 10K, Noodles, you've got your hat on, Old Tomorrow Beer.
I took the hat and I'll be wearing it, but pretty fired up. And I grew up in Alberta. I'm not the biggest beer drinker. But I am well aware of that beer.
Well, you know what was cool about it is it's a mom and a son.
Yeah.
Canadian owned, Canadian operated, Canadian pale ale. Like they've created that. And it's all over the LCBO. It's in a bunch of different bars and restaurants.
Yeah.
They were saying you can find it in the grocery stores now.
It's unreal.
And it's very good beer. And we're really happy to have them aboard because we needed the inspiration. Couching to 10K, let's be honest. If Old Tomorrow Beer didn't get on board, we would have quit.
We were doing the 5K walk.
Speak for yourself. I've been training ever since.
Oh, really? Do you want to get after
the guy
a quick update
to,
before we get to the Leaf game last night and what happened at practice? Do you want to get to your Couching to 10K update right now?
Okay.
A myth began to grow about my speed.
I'm too old to waste my time trying to train a no-good loser like you. You bum!
I need a miracle.
Run, Forrest, run! Get
set. From Couching to 10K. Brought to you by Old Tomorrow Beer.
Couching to 10K is brought to you by Old Tomorrow Craft Beer. Just like Canada, Old Tomorrow Canadian Pale Ale is feisty but very polite. You're awesome, Canada. So is our beer. All right, buddy. What do you have?
35-minute run today. Intervals.
Really? So
2 minutes on, 3 minutes off.
So that's not a lot of running.
Yeah, so wait a minute. You're talking.
There's a 5-minute warm-up in there, too.
So 30 minutes and then 2 minutes on and 3 minutes off. I'm not a math genius.
Let me clarify this.
The intervals are good for you. They are.
Are you talking about 35 minutes total, including all the 3-minute offs?
Yes.
Okay, so in that 35 minutes, that's about what? 8 minutes of running?
No, 5 minutes of warm-up, so knock the five off. So you've got 30 minutes, and then you've got 2 minutes
on. 2 minutes on, three minutes off.
Five times six.
You're talking 12 minutes.
You ran 12 minutes.
You ran for 12 minutes today. Okay. It's better than nothing.
It is, and it's great for your heart.
Because you did nothing.
Oh, really? I hit the elliptical today for 20 minutes.
Really?
But here, it gets better. You want to know what I'm doing tonight?
Elliptical.
I'm playing basketball tonight.
Really?
For the first time in over a decade.
dude, what the hell are you doing? You're going to be like the cable guy.
Yeah, you are
warming up, pulling a hammy.
You are going to come in here tomorrow, and you are not going to be able to move.
You're Chubbs.
I'm worried that I'm going to be Chubbs. Here's the best part. Remember how critical I was of you when you turned into snowboard guy?
Yeah.
And before you were truly invested, you went out there and bought all this new stuff.
You got new high tops?
I went to buy a pair of basketball shoes.
Air Jordans.
I bought a pair of Kobe's. They ran me up almost 300. This is the best part. I walk into the Foot Locker, and the guy immediately, he places eyes on me like, this guy, yeah. I'm going to rinse this
dude. This is a pigeon.
Yeah. This guy thinks he knows what he's doing, but he had to go through the whole spiel with me.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, I'm playing tonight. I haven't played in a long time. He's like, all right, well, what position do you play?
Oh, as if, guy.
I'm like, dude, I don't know. I'm probably coming off the bench, five fouls, and then I'm going to sit down again. He's like, all right, well, what was the last type of pair you had? LeBron's, Jordan's. I'm like, Ewing's in the 90s. Like, I
Converse
don't.
Converse All-Stars.
Literally, like, mine were Aces. Glowing. White. L.A. Gear shoes. Yeah. And then finally, he stops with the whole spiel, and this is how out of place I'm going to look. This is how lame and old and sloppy I am. My only request, ankle support.
Really?
I'm like, dude, I'm just in here for some ankle support. That's the only reason I'm buying a pair of basketball shoes.
So they're not even high tops. They are going
to
be like,
oh, they're up to my kneecap. I'm wearing casts. I'm going to have two casts
on
tonight.
You're Forrest Gump tonight.
Yeah,
that's
it's going to
be
ugly.
No,
but
it's cable guy.
It counts.
Yes, you're
it counts.
There.
I'm training tonight.
Yeah.
What do you got, Noodles?
I didn't. I traveled today. I had
oh, that's right.
Today for you. I ran yesterday.
Did you run in Philly? Did you run up the stairs?
No, I didn't do.
Did
the
you
outside.
See the Rocky statue?
He doesn't need to. He runs all the time.
I just run on the treadmill, but I did not. I openly admit I did not get a run in today. I was on the 6 a.m. flight back from Philly. I was exhausted. I couldn't fall asleep last night. I went back to my room and watched the Leafs game.
What did you think of that?
I thought they deserved to win. I thought Curtis McIlhenny maybe calmed some nerves, which
Jonas's nerves.
You missed out on.
I heard, because you know how I hear my Twitter feed lights up,
right?
Saying this guy's an idiot. Get Jamie McLennan back on the show, or whatever happens. Like my Twitter feed lights up whenever Jonas gets involved.
I think you would have been proud of me yesterday because I think I was kind of speaking on your behalf
in
a lot of ways.
I want to give me the
Coles notes. All right, I'll give
Here's
you the Coles
he
notes.
Said. He said McIlhenny is one of the worst goaltenders in the league, and his save percentage proves it over the last 10, basically his whole career. And then Brian said, if you're just going to base a guy's career on save percentage, then
well, and furthermore, people were tweeting in, and I was glad that they were because I didn't have these details in front of me. I wasn't prepared to get into a brawl over Curtis McIlhenny.
Isn't he over 92% with the Leafs?
Well, exactly. And Jonas didn't want to hear that. But also, if you look over his career, since like over the past 4 years, his first 3 years in the league, his numbers really were bloated, and it really stung him a lot. But over the past 3 or 4 years, he's right there with Al Montoya. Mm-hmm. Khudobin, like the quality backups in the league.
Right.
And
that's what you want.
I wasn't sitting here saying he's Carey Price or he's a starter or anything like that, but I'm like, he can give you a capable outing tonight.
Absolutely.
And I think, and I brought this up to you earlier in the week, there's a chance they sign him and they bring him back next year. And we got into this conversation about the role of a backup and the purpose of a backup, and this is where I was channeling you, Noodles. I'm like, it's a lot more than just what you do once a month when you're playing. It's behind the scenes. It's
There's
supporting
a classic
Anderson.
Case, if you just did the eye test with McIlhenny, you're like, this is a guy that can grit you out a couple wins coming down the stretch. But if you just want to look at the numbers, you wouldn't even bring him here. You wouldn't even bring him here.
Here's the factor that, Brian, you were just touching on, too. How good does he work with Frederick Anderson? Because
I personally don't give a rat's.
Well, I do, because you know why? Because Antoine Bebo was not going to help Frederick Anderson's game. Antoine Bebo was just happy to be in the NHL and was just learning on the go, learning on the fly. So everything
but if you're
going
to get a guy just to work with your other goaltender, you might as well get a – that's a coach.
No.
Yeah,
no,
but Mac –
it's
got
to be a combination of everything.
That's my
but he's
point.
Proven that
that's
it is.
That's what I'm saying. That's I was adding on to what you just said. Oh, the eye test. What you said, there's more to just looking at the numbers. What I'm saying is the intangibles. There are. We always talk about it and people get upset about that word. But there are intangibles for a backup. I know them because I was that guy. You have to be good in the room. You have to have a great relationship with your starter. You have to be his eyes and ears. You have to be a support factor. Think about it, O. You go in the dressing room, outside of the goalie coach, who's the one who understands goaltending?
No, nobody.
Get out there and stop the puck. So this is the only ally that you have. So I think the relationship between McElhinney and Anderson is underrated, because McElhinney has been there before. They could sit on the plane together and be like, you know what, seen this building, seen that.
Well, and also, you have to be realistic. He's a backup for a reason. Like, Curtis McElhinney would be the first one to tell you, if they're both healthy, you want Freddie playing.
100%.
Every backup understands that.
100%.
But all you can ask for out of this guy is what he did last night.
Right.
The Leafs, I thought, may have had their best first period of the season. That looked like it was going to be 7 or 8-0. It looked like Florida had decided, I booked my U-Hauls. Yeah. Vegas is right around
three
the corner.
Three games in 4 nights.
That's
we're
exactly
done.
What they
get me out
there.
Of Dodge. Yeah. And I would guess they went into the room. Some Gatorade cans got kicked. Some garbage cans got kicked. Yeah. And their head coach said, stop embarrassing yourself. Stop embarrassing me. You're still in the pros. Let's get going here.
Right, right.
And the Leafs looked as if they thought the game was over after the first period.
Right.
Because they were horrible in the second. But that's where McElhinney came up big for them.
And they needed that. And their backup is, going back to what you said, he's always going to be a drop-off. There's only one or two situations in the NHL, Marc-Andre Fleury and Matt Murray. That's a weird situation. Jimmy Howard and Peter Mrazek. Outside of that, there's starters and clear backups. You're watching the Philip Seymour Hoffman Let It Rain,
people
right?
are sending in Philip Seymour Hoffman, and he's awful. And Chip Douglas from Cable Guy.
I know.
Chip Douglas.
Like, stop. No, stop sending me stuff.
They are the greatest, and I'm enjoying them. But I'm going to get back to...
Chip Douglas is the best.
I'm going to get back
unreal.
To the drop.
Oh, I see. That's we're playing prison rules, huh?
That is me tonight, for sure. Yeah, I got to leave a mark.
You
all right, sorry,
that.
Noodles. You're
no,
on a good rant
there. I'm just saying,
there.
There's a drop-off between starter and backup. There's a reason why your starter makes a lot of money, and he plays every night. The backup just has to give you a chance to win. Curtis McElhinney did exactly what was asked of him last night. And think about the pressure going into it. If he lays an egg last night and has a bad second period and they get rinsed, what are we talking about today? What is the conversation today? The guy can't play. He can't sign him. He can't. It's because in this market, especially down the stretch with the amount of pressure on this group right now, he came up massive.
He came up huge for them. And Boston won last night.
Yeah.
So they keep plugging along. The Leafs are a point up on Boston with a game in hand.
Carolina for
Carolina
one goal
keeps
away.
Winning, but the Leafs are five up on
them.
They're five
fine.
Up on the Islanders. They're four up on Tampa. They're only four back of Ottawa. And I was thinking right. about this on the way in. And this is probably a smart exercise of your Leaf fan. I'm not anticipating people are going to do it, but do you think the Leafs are going to catch Ottawa? Do you think they're going to catch Ottawa?
Personally, I say no.
I don't think so. They're four back of Ottawa. Tampa's right. four back of the Leafs. So if you don't feel like Toronto can catch Ottawa, why should you sit here and feel like Tampa's going to catch Toronto?
You're right.
Like, I know it's three different teams, apples and oranges, but 4 points with 7 or 8 games left, that's a lot of digging.
But it's just nerves coming in. You're like, well, Ottawa's out of the picture. They don't make me nervous, but when they're...
Looking in the rear view is a lot
right.
different than looking forward.
But,
I get
but
that.
When you're sitting there, you want to dissect it a little further. You know, Ottawa leaves a point on the table last night. They're going into a real crabby building tomorrow in Minnesota, which that team has been getting tuned up lately. So... Minnesota, like, you can make a case to say, yeah, Ottawa sites are right there. And that's why I think that scares a Leaf fan saying, well, Tampa won't go away. You know, Carolina's five back. Like, these
the
teams
Islanders,
won't
Boston.
Go away. They just won't go away,
well,
which is fine. That's why we're in a race. And I think it's amazing.
And that's ultimately what sticks out is you're watching that game last night with 8 games left to go against a team that is out of the playoffs, and it felt like a playoff game.
Yeah.
Like, it had that kind of intensity. And you hear the quotes coming out of Edmonton. Connor McDavid was quoted last night because the Oilers, they punched their ticket. They're going for the first time in 10 or 11 years.
Yeah.
And he was asked, like, did that feel like a playoff atmosphere? And he said, I have no idea. I've never been in a playoff atmosphere in the NHL. And that's another thing that's at stake here. As cool as these games are right now.
Right.
The playoffs are on a completely different level.
Gong show.
Like, as much as we anticipate every game right now, and you're dissecting every game, and you can't wait to see how it's going to play out, and you're right. living and dying. Like, when Yager scored with less than a minute left, Leaf fans were pulling their hair out. Like, here we go. What's going to happen?
Yeah.
There's still seven games left. These are still regular season games. So what's at stake is this kind of entertainment value times what, 10, 15, 20?
Let's go 20 because of these young kids going through it, because of the excitement that is going to be here, because it's...
Because of the buildup, it's been so long.
It's really, like, last time they made the playoffs, shortened season, and, you know, there's a lot of different arguments on why that happened. And it wasn't sustainable, and it wasn't this and that. The core wasn't good enough. They were flawed. That's not the case this time around. We've talked about it. We talked about it as recently as last week. This core, this group has exceeded expectations in a lot of people's minds outside of Dave Naylor. And Dave Naylor said they're going to make the playoffs. He's crested.
You got to give him a lot of credit.
Outside of that. But everyone else is saying, including myself, didn't think they're a playoff team. They don't defend well enough. The back end isn't good enough. Ked Frederick Anderson hold up. Is Austin Matthews, Marner, Nylander. At what point are these young kids going to hit the wall? All of these questions were thrown out there because they were legit questions. They've been answered.
Well, and an answer people were looking for today was on the status of Freddie Anderson. Mm-hmm. And he practiced. He said he feels good. He thinks he's ready to go. He is traveling to Nashville. They've sent Garrett Sparks back to the Marlies. So at the very least, he's going to back up tomorrow night.
I think he plays.
I think he should play, right? And that's another thing. We keep talking about the backup goaltender. The backup understands. McElhaney understands. He played great last night. If Freddie's back to 100%, he's playing tomorrow night. But what McElhaney, I think, what he awarded some of the skeptics last night was the ability to go into one more game this year.
Yeah.
Whether it's the back-to-back featuring Buffalo and Washington or the back-to-back featuring Pittsburgh and Columbus, people are going to be okay with him going in. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean he'll stand on his head. Doesn't mean it's a guaranteed win night. But last night, because it's always, what have you done for me lately? And he was coming off the Saturday game where he was thrown in there in relief, but he didn't look great and the team didn't look great. So people were getting nervous. And he played really well last night.
And his last two starts are victories.
Victories. So it was a big win for the Leafs last night. There were so many things that came out of the game. Like the fact that the refs turned back that Roman Polak penalty.
Oh, my God. Was I about to freak out in the intermission?
Do you think that they should have done that?
Technically, by the book, they should not have done that. But if they had called that high sticking and four NHL referees got together and said that's high sticking, what are you on, crack? The puck hit the guy's glove and then hit the guy's face.
Here's the thing.
What the hell are they looking at?
Huberto's stick got real close to Polak, if you actually look at it.
What they did, and you know what they did, they looked up, one of them gave a horse eye up to those cameras underneath the scoreboard, and they said, whoa, we are not going down for this.
If I'm the
if he got cut, it would have been four.
If I'm the NHL, though, I'm investigating. I am.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm interviewing each of them individually and saying, how the hell did you come up with that conclusion? After you met once, and then all of a sudden, Tom Rowe, I was wondering, what the hell is this guy pissed off about? He knew it wasn't a high stick either, but he also knew what happened.
He knew that the original call was supposed to stand.
Yes.
And yes, the Leafs benefited last night, but I would not be surprised at all. In fact, I'd be willing to guarantee it. Teams will not be allowed to play replays in the building anymore.
They shouldn't.
Because that the Leafs benefited, and in the end, they got the call right.
That was
that
reverse horse eye upwards. And
you can't do that.
I'm not dying for this.
By the letter of the law, yes, they got it wrong, but they called it what they did. You're not allowed to go back and – they blatantly said, oh, that was the
puck. Yeah, we got to deal with this here.
You can't you convene again 2 minutes later, and all of a sudden some guy's
somebody
like, sorry.
Just said, oh, yeah, I forgot.
Now that I think about it.
I misremembered.
Now that I think about it,
I was oiled before, but now I'm sober. And
I misremembered.
Yeah. They Roger Clemens'd last night.
Yeah,
The Leafs got really lucky because that shouldn't happen.
And that
should
not happen. It is the right call, but
it's
the wrong process, and that could have changed the dynamic. And you know that the refs are sitting there going, "This call could be pivotal for this game. We better get it right." And you're right. Somebody pretended that they were talking to the other three refs and were looking over their shoulders right at the Jumbotron. I like the right call being called.
But Noodles, I know, then change the rule book so that everything can be reviewed.
But I am always, I have been on this, and I know it'll never happen. But if you're going to have four refs, why not have three on the ice and one in the stands that is mic'd to them and said, that's the wrong call.
But here's a potential problem with that, is even if they don't play the replay on the board, that guy could be on his phone trying to get it right. That guy could be watching in the media box where they're playing it on TSN. You can't tell the TV network that they can't replay what happened.
No, you're right. It's just I've always been an advocate of getting – I don't care how you come about. I just want the call right. Last night was kind of a greasy way.
It's so greasy. If I'm Florida, I would have been livid.
And you should be livid.
Livid.
But some guy – last night, I'm calling a game in Ottawa, the Ottawa game last night in Philadelphia. There was a high sticking penalty that the guy, Brandon Manning, sold it, threw his head back. The stick didn't go near his face. Like, so the refs are pissed off at stuff like that because now a player makes things look bad. So if the ref looks at that replay, has an opportunity or just in his mind or somebody's wired to him, says, that's not a call, and you move on.
Some goon just invited me to play hockey this summer. He literally sent me a tweet saying, do you want to play hockey this summer? I click on the link. It's a Burlington Beer League D division. Dude, what the hell is a D division?
It's pretty
low. Listen to what the ad says. Be a decent guy. No coaching from the bench. Don't be a D-bag. Show up to 80% of the games. Pays on time. Brings beer his week. Goes out after the game occasionally, if allowed. An average to good hockey player.
Sounds like a great setup.
That sounds like the constitution of beer league hockey. That's what it should be.
That sounds amazing.
Because that is my fear tonight. I have crusaded against beer league warriors before. They ruin
it
for everybody.
So you're in a league tonight?
Well, yeah. It's like an organized basketball game.
You're going to come in here with a cast on tomorrow.
Well, that's my concern, though, is that I'm going to run into the beer league basketball guy.
You have no game. Yeah. What are you, like a...
I'm a hybrid. I'm going to be out there moving and shaking.
What's a hybrid? What?
I don't know, but I'm going to be doing it.
So are you a shooting guy?
Who are you closest to? What is your style of play? What is your style? Lowry?
He's a cross between Big Country and...
and Kevin McHale.
and Zaza Pachulia. Just the donkiest looking guy on
George
earth.
George Mirasan.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'll bring my five fouls to the game.
You're a cross between Big Country Reeves and the coach of Detroit. Who is that?
Who's Stan Van Gundy?
Was it Bill Laimbeer?
Yeah, Bill Laimbeer.
You're Bill Laimbeer.
He was mean, man.
But he had no vertical.
No, he was just nasty. He'd get in there and elbow people.
You're Laimbeer.
Yeah.
I love
Maybe
it.
Maybe I am. I'll bet you I'd surprise you on the court.
You want to bring me out as like a guest one game?
And you should.
We'll be the backcourt?
You need your new shoes, though, man.
I'm not buying new shoes. I've got Air Jordans for that.
I'm going to come off as such a fraud. I've never played before, and I'm going to roll in with brand new kicks.
Wear braces.
Chip Douglas. All right, Peter Chiarelli will join us, the GM of the Oilers. The Oilers are off to the playoffs. Can you believe that? How about that? And they still got a lot of games still to prepare themselves, and they're jockeying for position out there in the Pacific.
It's interesting.
So we'll get his take on what he was expecting before the season began, how McDavid's handled the captaincy, and what the buzz is like out there.
This guy made some bold moves last summer.
He did.
Traded Taylor Hall for Adam Larson.
Yep. Well, something's worked.
It's worked.
It's absolutely worked. So Peter Chiarelli will join us. Grit Grinder later in the hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. Peter Chiarelli will join us here in a moment. Mike tweeting in about me playing basketball tonight for the first time in over a decade. He said, I got a guy who I think you're going to... We got a guy.
I heard.
Did you hear McCabe yesterday?
We had... What do you call him?
Ugly Face.
The Ugly Face on yesterday. He was awesome.
We got a guy.
Who's swimming around the end zone like a Zamboni. And Caber was swimming in front of the net.
He loves it, though. He loves calling in.
He's so good. Mike saying Hayes is going to be like Kurt Rambis tonight. At least his Twitter action will be.
What is he like asses.com or something?
It was so offside. The things that Kurt Rambis was tweeting about and liking. Really? Remember that? The Knicks interim head coach at the end of last year? That was our first day on the show in the 4 p.m. slot.
Yeah, he was liking hot ass triple X and all this like...
Like it was
hot ass daily. That was the one.
Let's not torch the guy for that.
That's what
Everyone's
I'm saying.
Everyone's got their own likes and dislikes.
That's true.
I'm going to play like Kurt Rambis tonight.
You are. The goggles, everything.
A lot of people mentioning Jackie Moon as well from the movie Semi-Pro. Anyway. All right, Peter Chiarelli, GM of the Oilers. He'll join us in 2 minutes. Rick Reiner later in the hour. Ray will join us just after 5. Jerry's percentages in an hour.
Speaking of Rick Reiner, we got to ask Peter about the mustache, why it went to the wayside.
I think he's got to bring it back for the playoffs.
He better.
What did he do with the cup run in Boston?
I think it was a full beard. But then he went stash for a long time.
And we were big supporters.
Big fans of the stash.
All right, let's bring in the GM of the Oilers. Here is Peter Chiarelli. Peter, will you grow the mustache again for the playoff run?
You guys might be the only guys on the face of this earth that support that mustache. So.
Honestly, can you tell us, did you actually really like it? I mean, I kind of did, but I'm like, not a lot of guys.
No, I didn't like it. No, I didn't like
so
it.
So you just did it to piss people off.
I think so. I think at the end of the day, that's probably why I did it.
That was your Brian Burke's version of not doing up your tie.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. That's how it manifests in different ways. That's how it does for me.
Well, we always play hypotheticals on this show. Like, if you were guaranteed to win a Stanley Cup, would you grow a mustache for the rest of your life?
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so.
You wouldn't.
No.
Okay.
That's a serious thing, man.
That's dedication to no stash. I'll give you that for sure.
Yeah.
What's the city buzzing like today? I mean, it must be incredible considering what happened last night.
Yeah, it was following the game just down 104th Avenue was pretty hopping and today it was kind of a little I couldn't really tell. I came into work and I've been in the rink all day, but I know I can tell you around our office and around the rink it's the morale is high and there's a lot of energy and guys are pretty excited.
Peter, when you got there, obviously, you know, you guys got Connor McDavid, and he's one of the best players in the world, and he helped change things around. But when you got there, what is one thing that you had to bring into that locker room? You know, the past wasn't good. There was not a lot of winning. The culture wasn't there. Everybody talks about that catchphrase, changing the culture. What is the one thing that you kind of had to instill in that locker room?
You know, I don't know if I can put it on one thing. Like, it was – I thought our, you know, we needed a change of personnel and we had to get a little bigger and I just, you know, used to winning where I've been and Todd's same way, and there's just like a work ethic, some structure and a purpose the team has to be all pulling in the same direction, so that was important and we had to eradicate some habits and. But I like, you know, you talk about changing the culture and looking at what, you know, one thing or there's a bunch of different things we had to do, and you know, at the end of the day, you have to have good players too, and we were obviously fortunate to get Connor and we brought in some other ones, and there were already some good players here, so nothing really. I can't really single out one thing, but it was really a way of thinking and a way of starting every day and knowing what you have to do and having some structure to it.
Any nerves on your part before the season handing such a young guy in McDavid the captaincy?
You know, a little bit. You know, but really, what I saw Connor do at the World Cup, we gave him the captaincy there, and albeit it's not, you know, the more with his peers as his age group. But he was still quite young in that group. So, you know what? You see how much the players respect him, and you see how much players respect him as a person and obviously him as a player. But he handles himself so well, and he's such an unselfish personality and he's got some leadership ability. But a little bit nervous, but that World Cup experience for me really cemented it.
Peter, you've been a guy, once you've taken over a team, not shy to make bold moves. You made a massive move in the offseason, trading Taylor Hall for Adam Larson. By all accounts, it's worked out real nicely for you. But when you go to make moves like that that are massive and polarizing, is it something that you bounce off your management team? Do you take a lot of time doing it? Or is it you come in, you want to change the culture, you want to jar the atmosphere around, and moves like that do that? Is it something that you have to factor in everything that comes with it?
Well, yeah. I mean, you got to make an informed decision, obviously. But that, and I know you're not suggesting this, but that move wasn't done to just for shock value.
No.
We identified a need and a deficiency in our lineup, and we went out and we canvassed where those players would be and what were available, and then we identified a surplus in our lineup, what we had a lot of. And this doesn't diminish Taylor Hall at all. He's a terrific player. But we had a lot of forwards. We were going to get a high draft in a forward, and we got Connor McDavid, and we found a fit. And it was a high cost to pay, but he's a very good player for us, and the fit was really good. I use this. I've done a few interviews today, and I used this analogy from another sport earlier in the day about you know, in the NFL. If you look at the lifespan of running backs, they flip them out a lot. Like, then it's the rigor of the position, but it's also like you can find running backs. But you look at where those huge left tackles, offensive tackles, are drafted. They're drafted high and they're paid a lot of money. They protect the quarterback, so it's not a glamorous position, but it's a very significant position. And usually those teams that win have terrific left side of their offensive line. So I liken it to that. Like, we needed that position filled, and it didn't have to be a star who put up a point and a half a game, but it had to be a very good player, and we felt that that was the right fit.
With Peter Chiarelli, GM of the Oilers, I like that analogy because you're absolutely right. In the NFL or the CFL,
yeah,
you win with a quarterback, a left tackle, and a pass rush. I mean, that, not to simplify, you're talking about a 53-man roster, and you need coaching staffs, you need depth.
Yeah.
But when you're starting this process, I mean, it's easier said than done because, you know, you need to win a lottery or you need to find certain guys, and sometimes they have to fall in your lap. But when you're trying to build a championship team, is that the way you approach it? You're like, okay, we need our number one guy up front, number one guy on the back, number one guy in net. We need the right coach. Is it that focused when you first get there and you start planning 3, 5, 10 years down the road?
Well, it's whatever facts you're presented with. Like, it's whatever you have, and you have to be realistic as to. Yeah, again, this is the second time I've done it. And I'm by no means saying I'm an expert at it, and we've made the playoffs and great, but you look at what you've got, and we had a lot of good young players, but we had a lot of holes in the lineup also, and we needed goaltending and size. So that there's kind of the footprint right there, and then you got to tweak it and change it a bit. And I mean, all GMs, like, they don't try and get small. All GMs try and get bigger. I mean, it's just a matter of physics. Notwithstanding the new rules, you know, the bigger player is going to win a battle over a smaller player. You have to be fast and skilled and all that. So all GMs do that. It's just, Edmonton had a good foundation. They had a very good foundation. That was one of the reasons why I took the job. And so, you know, you deal with what you have, it's not the number of moves that you do, it's the quality of moves that you do, and just because you do a lot of moves doesn't always translate into a successful team. So,
with Peter Chiarelli, GM of the Oilers, before we let you go, we've got to reference the standings. I mean, you guys still have the possibility of winning the division. You've got 6 games left, you're 2 back of Anaheim, you're tied with San Jose, the Flames are only 3 back of you. I mean, you clinched last night, but how important is it for your team to stay motivated here, because you're still playing for something?
Yeah, you know, it is important. And you know, like, you talk about turning the page, you clinch, and now you look, okay, you know, we have a chance to get in a real good position. But we also have to balance, you know, we've got, obviously, we played Cam a lot of games Cam Talbot, and and we have to balance that, and we have to balance the rest of our lineup. But yeah, we want to try and get as high as we can, and then if you're in a better position, we can win a series or two here.
If you grow the stash, you will.
You're not going to see that again. I promise my wife that.
Well, congrats on obviously what's already been a great year and clinching last night, and best of luck down the stretch run and into the playoffs. Thank you for doing this, Peter.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Peter Chiarelli, GM of the Leafs. No guy on that hypothetical. If I guaranteed you a cup, but in order for you to get it, you had to grow a stash and keep it for the rest of your life.
The rest of your life.
He said no guy.
No guy.
How would you answer that? Put the Leafs in the mix.
If I could guarantee the Leafs would win a Stanley Cup, I'd have to wear a mustache the rest of my life? Yes, guy.
No way. Yeah.
I would.
You want to live to your 95 years old.
But a mustache is a mustache. I mean,
that's 50 more years.
You could style it. You could make it look cool. You could grow the mustache and then a little
that
goatee.
That should be one of our poll questions. What kind of mustache should O grow? Like what the roly fingers?
Oh, I like
the tatty.
Put a little wax in that.
Like what kind of stash would you rock? And you can't roll
the
it into
tatty
like
a. Has a thick cookie duster, doesn't he?
That's a cop's mustache.
He does. He's basically from Chips.
Exactly.
That thing's got some backstory to it, though. It's been on his face for 40 years.
Yeah.
Like those primary mustache hairs have been there since like the 70s.
Yes.
Do you have to shampoo a mustache?
That's a great question. Do you shampoo a stash?
I don't know. That thing was bushy when bushy was in, though.
Yeah. All I'm saying is, what kind of stash would you grow? And you can't morph it into like a goatee or anything. It's got to be a stash.
Well, that's the thing. Peter Chiarelli had a mustache. Like he had a mustache.
I can tell there was something wrong with that. It's like, what?
But I support
he
it.
He never really came out
no,
and told
he
us
just
why
was like,
he did
no,
it.
I'm not going to be asked about it, so I'm going to keep running with it.
Did I call him the GM of the Maple Leafs?
Oh,
no.
God, dude.
I don't
serious?
Think I did, but someone texting and tweeting in saying, Peter Chiarelli, the GM of the Maple Leafs. Maybe I did. Look back on that, Moles.
Really? Well,
if you did, that's a fireable offense.
That kind of ruins.
That's a get out for the rest of the show.
That's a no-go.
Should I leave? I can
did
go
you
put...
drop that off to Kara, by the way? You didn't, did
okay,
you?
Okay, no,
you're
I got
a joke.
I got to have a words with you. Noodles, I need you to intervene here.
Okay,
you can
kind of
moderate
in.
This whole conversation.
I'll moderate it.
At five, I'm going to tell you why you really put me in a tough spot. We got to get to the grinder. I got to get to my pillow.
You live 2 seconds from her.
I'm going to explain why you put me in a tough spot, okay?
He needed.
Oh, I know what it is. You feel like you got to do something.
Absolutely.
Oh, you're such a joke.
Okay, we'll
so
come
I
back.
So I got to suffer for it.
That's right, you do. And I'll tell you why we're getting into
it. I'm calling Aaron.
Go ahead. Guess where it is right now.
It's in your car.
It's in my trunk.
We got to have a picture of his trunk now, too.
This is the best stuff.
It's just a piece of garbage move.
Your stuff is starting to migrate into my car.
Yeah, his trunk's full, so he put it into your trunk.
See, I gave Kara this baseball bat, and I said, give it to her for her kid's bedroom, her baby's bedroom.
Yeah.
He won't drop it off until he gets a present.
I got to get something significant. I'm reaching out to Jose Bautista.
Exactly.
I got to really up my game.
Joey Bats is going to deliver the other bat.
Do you have the audio of it? Of me? This is
all
bad
right, let's
news.
Hear it.
Let's hear it. Peter Chiarelli, GM of the Leafs.
When you introduced him?
No, that's right. He was gone by then, right?
Whoa.
You gotta send him in a
play it again.
No, he didn't hear it.
Play it again and we'll go to break.
Peter Chiarelli, GM of the Leafs. I sound like I'm half asleep. Why am I so.
He
I don't
was
know.
Great.
He
Peter Chiarelli was outstanding.
Yeah, that's my bad. Sorry, Lou.
That happens. It
sorry,
happens.
Lou. Anyway, I've got basketball on my mind here, you know?
All right, fair enough.
All right, Grit Grinder, I'm gonna tear a strip off of you and Ray's coming up and Jerry, whole nine yards. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.
Some more mustache advice do we have?
Yeah, someone texting into 105050, and this makes a lot of sense. He said, you absolutely shampoo a stash if you smoke darts.
If darts are involved?
Well, if you have the blonde stash, it looks like the Cheeto stains on it, and you've got to get them out.
You just got the round.
There is no more level of commitment to darts when you have the Cheeto stained stash from the smoke.
How good is that? Head and Shoulders stash.
That's what a brand.
That's what it should be. You go in there, it's a mini bottle, but you can
players,
get after it.
Players should have a cleanse.
Players
clean
light.
Your stash.
Demaurier shampoo.
Shampoo.
It's like, you know, with sometimes you buy 2 6s or 40s and they got the little mini bottle. Yeah. That's what should be attached to cigarette packs.
Mini bottle of shampoo for your stash.
Get the Cheeto stains out immediately.
All right, Ray's coming up. We'll ask him if he's ever shampooed his mustache.
Exactly.
We got to ask him that.
We do. He's a legendary. He played with the Whalers. They were the stash.
Joel Quinn.
You couldn't play on the team if you didn't have a mustache.
Dave Babich. There were so many mustaches on that team.
Yeah, I'll bet you some smokers in that room, too.
Oh,
I guarantee
sure.
it.
Guaranteed.
Guaranteed. Jerry's percentages at 530. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050.